This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hi, Robert Reese here. Welcome to the CEO Show. Each week, we interview the top CEOs in America so you can learn directly from success and business. To hear any one of our 750 past CEO interviews, just go to CEOshow.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. I'm here today with Risto Silasma. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. And this is going to be a really interesting discussion because Risto was the chairman and, for a short period, the CEO of Nokia, and we are going to hear one of the great case studies of a turnaround. So let's start off. It's May 2012. You're at a podium. You're chairman. What's the state of Nokia right then?
Well, for the first 6 months of that year, our operating losses were over $2 billion. Our key shareholders didn't even want to meet with us. They felt that our stock would not be attractive to them in the foreseeable future. I'm not talking about current shareholders. I was talking about long-only shareholders that we wanted to get for the Nokia share. Our employees were scared. There were lots of speculation about the company going bankrupt. We were planning the biggest layoffs in the history of the company. Our revenues were declining over 25% per quarter from the previous year. So it was a scary moment to become chairman for a company that was such a big thing in a small country. It was sort of a big duck in a really small pond. So if the worst happened, I knew that history would remember me from that possible bankruptcy or loss of the company, destruction of the company.
And in Finland, Nokia was really, it was this great shining star that embodied all the goodness of Finland, and Nokia was the hot company. And now it's almost like not only did you have a company on your hands, you had a whole country on your hands.
In a way, and of course it meant so much for me as well. I have been an entrepreneur all my life, and in the beginning, as I started globalizing my own cybersecurity company, and we still printed brochures back then, I put my Silicon Valley office first on the list so that people would mistakenly think that we are a Valley-based company. And the Finnish office came way down the list. And Nokia changed that for me. Nokia gave me the pride of being a Finn and pride of stating publicly that my company is a Finnish company. And it meant so much for me to be involved in the Nokia team and to become a chairman of the company. And it was not just a piece of the heart of Finland. It was a piece of my heart as well.
Yeah, it has obviously far-reaching implications. We're going to talk about the solution because if you fast forward, the company grew 20 times the value of the company.
The enterprise value.
The enterprise value of the company grew 20 times, which is a tremendous turnaround. We'll talk through that, but let's just go backwards of why this happened. And I want to share, you wrote this book called Transforming Nokia, and what a great book. I read this, and you could see I have all the pages cut, and here it's a true case study. But what it says here, I think it started in 2007, maybe before, when Steve Jobs held up that phone, and you own the market, right? You really own the market. Yeah. And talk about what led to 2012 and the fall.
Well, there were a lot of dynamics that affected that outcome, but a couple. One is the importance of the operating system. When Nokia started in the handset business, there was a small piece of software in every device, and it was easy to customize that software for every device the company launched. And then we fast forward to the smartphone era, and that small piece of software had grown into a huge chunk of software. But the company kept the old way of thinking about the devices, i.e. customizing the software for every new device, which meant that a huge amount of the work was spent in these sort of dead-end device-specific branches of the software tree, which didn't help the trunk of that software tree to grow stronger.
Ah, very good analogy.
And that was completely different from all other companies in the market. Apple, Microsoft, Linux, Unix, for all these ecosystems, the operating system was at the core. Nokia thought differently. So this created a long-term erosion of value in the operating system. It became not a tree, but a hedge, an impenetrable hedge.
Mm. So there you are in 2012. What's your thinking? How do you get out of this situation? And we've like 600,000 listeners listening in. Imagine if you were in this situation and you were the chairman. What do you do?
Well, I was sort of lucky. The first thing I did was instinctively, I think, right. And it was that I do nothing. I tried to think about sort of one rung higher on an abstraction ladder. Instead of thinking about how do we fix the problems, I was thinking about how do I create an environment where it would be more likely that the team would be successful in fixing those problems.
And that's a very interesting point.
And actually, I have found that to work in many other situations as
so, well. So just to clarify, what you're saying, instead of focusing on the problem immediately, instead you focus on the culture and the environment because you know you're going to need to leverage the entire team.
Yeah.
That could be a major point for CEOs to know in a turnaround.
Yeah. And I became the chairman of an industrial association about 2 years ago. And the first thing that I did there was the same thing. I tried to figure out what is the next rung on that abstraction ladder. Not what the issues are on the business level, but what would be that next rung. And for me, it turned out to be that we changed our decision-making criteria in that association to be based on the long-term interests of the country. Because we believe that whatever will be good for the country in the long term will be good for the companies of our industry as well. So instead of being selfish and short-termist, we decided that we'll think about the long term and have a clearly defined decision-making criteria.
I want to go to that point because many of the CEOs who read, who listen to us, you know, they're CEOs of publicly traded companies, and you have earnings. So how, in a world of earnings, how can you stay so focused on the long term? Is it a matter of communication, clarifying the strategy? How do you do that?
I think it starts from a real sense of ownership, mm-hmm. which I think all entrepreneurs have. When you start a company, you feel a sense of ownership. Short term doesn't really mean that much for you then.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have that same sense of ownership even if you're a hired CEO. You just need to sort of brainwash yourself to thinking like that. And then you need to communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way we want to think about the company.
And is that communication? Is it email? Is it one-on-one?
It's all of
everyone,
the above.
Town halls, everything. And it's the same message over and over and over again.
As always.
Okay, so you've 2 minutes left before break, but then we're going to talk more. I just want to talk quickly. You have this great thing in the book about the 10 leadership principles, starting with accountability. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, that's entrepreneurial leadership for me, and it starts with the accountability, and I like to think of that through ownership, the sense of ownership. And what I tell young people who are looking for a job is that if you rent a car, you rarely wash that rental car because you don't feel a sense of ownership for that car.
Good point.
If you own the car, you take better care of it. So if you have a job which feels like a rental car for you, you actually deserve better. You should be looking for a job that is like your own car, because then you really want to be proud of that company. And then you go the extra mile. So if we can instill that sense of ownership to people so that they feel that every small sort of frayed edge somewhere is my responsibility as well, then we are creating a great culture.
It's exciting. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the deals you did and also the impact on customers. Robert Reese with the CEO Show Minute here with Jim McCann, CEO and founder of 1-800-Flowers. You're known for great customer service. Give me an example.
We have stories about extraordinary delivery situations where a fellow in an airport, his girlfriend gave him an ultimatum and said, if you don't propose to me by the time I leave for Paris with my family on vacation, don't call me again. At the last minute, he decided this was a good thing and he shouldn't miss out on it. And he asked if we could engineer delivery to Kennedy Airport on Long Island to get these flowers with a proposal to his girlfriend to say that, in fact, he did want to marry her. So we had a delivery guy make a special arrangements with the Port Authority police to get right to the gate with the bouquet, and he knelt down and he read the card message to her while her mom and dad and her sister stood there, and he read the proposal to her, and he had a cell phone in his hand saying, if the answer is yes, I'm instructed to call Richard and put you on the phone with him. So we have photographs of that situation. It was covered by the local TV station because they got wind of what was going on, and it's a great story.
Thanks, Jim. Robert Reese on the CEO Show Minute.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese back on the CEO Show, and we're talking about this great transformation of Nokia, or as in your book, Transforming Nokia. So let's talk, how did you do this deal? How did you get out of it? Because there was a huge Microsoft deal that was involved with this, and it's a fascinating story of how you did this. Talk about the challenges and how you actually pulled that deal together.
Well, I think the core thing that enabled us to navigate through those dangerous waters was that we spent a lot of time in scenario planning. The old way, in the sort of old board from my point of view, was that there was always one single management plan that the board supported, and there were no alternatives. And I like to think of that as a dark landscape with one lit path crossing that landscape. And as we seem to always fail to execute that official plan, the only thing the board really knew after a couple of years was that we will go through that landscape, but we will not go through or along that lit path. We'll travel it through the dark terrain that we know nothing about. So then with the scenario planning, we said that, hey, let's figure out all the different ways the future can unfold. And for the positive ones, we'll create action plans on how do we increase the likelihood of these positive scenarios. For the negative ones, how do we prevent them from happening? And suddenly we had the same dark landscape, but there were numerous paths, lit paths, crossing that landscape. And we knew that even if we don't go down any one of those paths, we'll go close to many of them. So we know what's ahead. And that gave us a sense of control. So when we started doing these deals, we had thought numerous times, what could happen? What could they offer? Why? How are they modeling our value? Who else might they buy? How do we prevent them from buying a competitor? So all the possibilities we had thought about, we had action plans, we felt in control. And that feeling of control gives you confidence. And it helps the team to feel comfortable and relaxed. And then we just do better work that way.
And in your book, you used the line, you said, we had one foot in the grave and one on a banana.
Banana peel, yeah.
Yeah, banana peel. So what was interesting, when you did the deal with Microsoft, there were clearly all types of challenges in that. But you had one idea that I thought was really interesting, which was, I think it's called 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anyone is negotiating a deal for a major organization, this is an interesting perspective. Just talk through what that concept is.
Sure. So I was not a very experienced deal maker when we started this process. So the first meeting in New York between the Microsoft team and the Nokia team, it was like two armies facing each other. There was probably 30 people in the room. And these powerful bankers, you know, battling who is the biggest and the baddest. Of course, Steve Ballmer with his bald head gleaming in the lights. And it was a performance. And that didn't end well. It was not a good meeting. And from that, I learned that we need to do this differently. So I suggested to Steve that let's next time just the core teams will meet. We'll take the support people with us, but they will not be in the room. So we always negotiated from then on with the key principals, me and Steve, our CEO and Terry Myerson, who ran the Windows phone devices or phone software. Then we had the CFOs and the CLOs. And that was really the core team. And it was an important lesson that you need to create trust between the people. And you can only do that if you have sort of more intimacy in the negotiations without the big crowds around you that you perform to.
So let's talk about the customer. So when you're growing a company, the name of the game is keeping customers, growing customers. And I know you did then another acquisition afterwards, Ed, but how is the whole customer experience change when you're dealing with customers and trying to keep your customers? Because that also completely impacts your value.
Yeah. And that is a whole different dimension. We had on one hand this transformation dimension and then the everyday business dimension. And these were worlds apart. In one, we were thinking about all these radical structural changes, selling the handset business. What shall we do with the network business, which was a joint venture with Siemens? And Siemens had surprisingly announced that they want to get rid of their ownership. So what will happen to that? And then in June 2013, Microsoft had just turned down the deal that I had shaken hands with Steve Ballmer on. And we were in the final stages of talking with Siemens on what shall we do with the NSN, the joint venture. We were not well funded enough to do the deal buying Siemens' share. So we took a bit of a risk, took some short-term funding from Siemens and from JPM. And then I called Steve Ballmer a little bit later and told him that I need you to lend us $2 billion. You have lots
That's a fun call to make.
Yeah, but it made sense. Because the reason why we couldn't tap the financial markets was the negotiation we have with Microsoft. So it was sort of their fault that we couldn't use external funding. And they had lots of trapped cash overseas. So why not invest it?
So it's actually sort of a win-win then.
It was.
And is your brain going, when you're going through this, are you always thinking win-win? Are you always thinking create the right environment? What is going through your mind through all these steps? It's like a chess game.
It is like a chess game where you don't necessarily think about win-win always, but you think about acting honorably. So that whatever you do, you can write a book about it and you can feel proud of that. I mean, I was not working for Microsoft, so I was not single-mindedly looking for their benefit. I was looking for the benefit of Nokia shareholders, but doing it in such a way that I feel we acted honorably under all circumstances.
What would you say the biggest lesson you learned was in going through this whole transition of seeing Nokia go down and then go up again?
I think the biggest lesson is defined by the words paranoid optimism. Meaning that if I'm paranoid, I'm thinking about how can something fail, and I can preempt that. I can reduce that likelihood. And that actually gives me reason to be optimistic about the future. Because I know what can go wrong and I'm prepared for it. And then I can focus on the positive scenarios and work to make those real.
Let's spend 1 minute. Talk about the future of our digital world and what you envision happening.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Only 1 minute, right?
The challenge that many economists have is that the GDP growth has not been, or the productivity growth has not been what it should have been during the ICT era. And that is because 70% of the economy, of the economical activity, has not been digitized yet. Now with 5G and the new technologies, we believe that 70% can be digitized. And then we will see the productivity growth in that major chunk of the economy over the next 10 years. That's a great opportunity.
That sounds like a very exciting future. Risso, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349. 4349.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Dr. Darren Schulte. How are you?
Great, thank you.
And Darren is the CEO of Apixio. Now, this is a different type of healthcare company than you've probably heard of. It's sort of at the intersection of bringing AI to the payer and the provider. So talk about what your basic business model is.
So today what we're doing is we're using machines to read medical records and understand the diseases that individuals are suffering from and they're being actively treated for, to help both health insurance plans and provider organizations better care for and then get reimbursed for their care.
So you have something like 7 million patient medical records, all of the information from them.
Through our customers, we have an aggregated data.
How do you aggregate? You were founded in 2009. How do you aggregate that much of a volume of information?
We provide a lot of value to our customers, and there's two ways that we get it. The first is our customers, providers, will allow us to get these data from their electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. And over the last 5 to 7 years now, there's been a widespread adoption of medical records among physicians in hospitals and in clinics. So now this data is typewritten and digitized. The second, however, is health plans. They get these medical records for many different purposes. They spend billions a year. If you can believe it, they go into medical offices and they'll fax, they'll scan and copy, and then have a copy of those records in their possession and send that to us.
And that's amazing.
And that's
still
amazing.
Using the fax machine, right? Okay, but here's a question. What about HIPAA compliance? How do you deal with the sharing of knowledge?
Right. So HIPAA, so when you go to a doctor's office, you get a lot of forms to sign, one of which is you sign over the ability for someone to use your medical record for payment, for treatment, and for quality purposes. And so we're governed under that HIPAA, and we're using that on behalf of our clients as a business associate to help them provide better either payment or treatment.
So are you doing it also on more of an aggregate level? Like, let's say I go in, I'm a 56-year-old man, and I have something or other. Are you capturing all this information about similar 56-year-old men, or how does that really work?
Well, we started on an individual basis, so we understand the active treatments and diseases for each individual.
Okay.
And then we can certainly aggregate that together to say, in like 56-year-olds, you know, here's the disease patterns or other things.
So you're getting both of them, the individual and the active.
Yeah, we start with the medical record for each individual over 12 months or more of their care. And then we actually determine the diseases that each individual suffering from.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Darren Schulte, who's the CEO of Apixio. This is a company, I think unlike anyone I've interviewed before, that's really bringing at the intersection of AI into healthcare, this type of methodology. Let's talk through first, because we have a couple of minutes to really talk through, and CEOs out there, you know how important healthcare is to you. If you happen to be on a hospital board, if you're on an insurance board, or if you're involved with healthcare, you're going to learn a lot right here. So let's talk about Apixio and your model. First, let's talk with the payer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work with the payer? What are the benefits to the payer of working with you?
Right. So the payers, like the providers, are now in a new world of the way healthcare is being paid for. As opposed to paying for every service that's done, when you go in the hospital or in the clinic and the physicians charge you for that procedure, that office visit, we're now changing to value-based payment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay according to the quality of care I've received and the outcomes. And so in order to provide that, there needs to be more intelligence about the individual. So the health plans can better care for an individual in between the physician visits and help them to keep them out of the hospital. So there needs to be intelligence about the individual, their diseases, what they suffer from, to provide that proactive type of care in these new
contexts. So how does your AI really help?
So we're reading medical records using machines to be more accurate in determining all that physician gobbledygook and translating that into insights and intelligence. Imagine millions of records. There's no humans that could read that and keep up to date on a daily or weekly basis. As there's new visits and there's new documents, machines are going to be the way to provide more accurate intelligence as the basis for how we're going to care and pay for care under this value-based regime.
So because of the speed of how much of the volume you could actually read of all these records, you're able to help the insurance companies improve the quality of their care.
The quality
you're probably
of the care.
Also able to help them reduce their costs now because they have a greater understanding.
Absolutely.
Also, and also in their negotiations.
And they don't have to pay for as many people to do the reading and also the errors that occur.
Well, it's hard to get enough people to read a million copies.
It is.
And now I'm laughing about it because you're talking about the fax machine, Darren, and I'm imagining someone, oh, you have to fax a million copies, right?
Yeah. Well, also what comes out of the fax is a poorly scanned image.
Oh,
the
yeah.
computer has to make that into something typewritten because to the computer, it's just an image. It's an image of something that was faxed.
But this must cost insurance companies a fortune.
They spend billions of dollars each year to do just the ability of reading a medical record and understanding that someone's suffering from heart failure, diabetes, and COPD during that year.
Salvatore Curve, give me an example of a company that you're working with, a healthcare payer, and specifically, what is the model you're working with? What was maybe a challenge they faced, how you worked with them, and the type of results?
So one of the large plans that operates in 19 states across the country, they look at 700,000 medical records each year. Mm. And they look at it for the purposes of determining this disease, for this purposes of care, and for payment. And they literally used dozens and dozens of people and knew that they weren't getting the kind of outcomes they should be getting. They were undercalling disease. They were determining the patients had something that they didn't. And so what we did is we said, here's software. Here's machines that can help your, what they call coders, make better effective decisions in reading and articulating what's there. The computer will point to areas in the medical record where this disease is being documented by a physician in a face-to-face encounter.
Wow.
And it saves them 80% less time to actually do this work. And we're 20% more accurate than a human is. Imagine it reading that same medical record.
Have you ever done like a cost analysis of how this impacts the outcome for them? I mean, you must have a tremendous ROI. I'm just guessing.
These ROIs are something like I've never seen in my career, and this is, you know, healthcare technology number three company for me. The ROIs are somewhere between 5 and 10 to 1 that the CFO could see at the top line of the balance sheet.
So what are the biggest challenges that the payers are having right now? One is you're talking about reading, and there's so much information. What are the other types of areas where you're working with them?
Well, what they need to do is get closer to the point of care and work collaboratively with providers so that they can influence care and be a partner to providers. The problem is providers and payers do not get along, and in the past, their relationships haven't been that great. They're at odds with one another over contracting. They're at odds one over reimbursement. And so that makes for incentives not aligned.
So you're sort of a middle person.
We're trying to provide better access to the type of data that will help both. We also work with physician groups as well because they have contracts with payers that together they share in the financial risk.
And we're going to talk more about after the break, which we're taking in 2 minutes, about how you work with actually the providers. We talked about the payers. But for now, the name, Apixio, I thought it's a really, wow, that's a different type name, but it has a really important meaning. Talk everyone through what it means.
I'm going to get a little geeky for you for a second. So Apixio, API is Application Programming Interface, the way in which computers exchange data with one another. X is exchange, so an API is exchanging data, which I is in, O is out. So APIXIO.
APIXIO. And now let's see if everyone could get it. If someone wants to go to the website, what is the website?
Apixio, APIXIO.com.
And there you have it. In about a minute, we're going to take a break, but I just want to ask you, you've been in two other companies in healthcare technology prior to this. What have you learned?
Everything in healthcare takes more time, money, and effort. As an industry, healthcare is conservative, not politically. But think about it. We all as physicians take the oath to do no harm. And so whatever one does, they do it knowing that it needs to be at the highest level of performance and accuracy so that you do no harm. So that while in other industries, the technologies we're talking about can do well at a lower performance, right? Who cares if your Amazon recommendation screws up through AI? Or who cares if the social media site that you're visiting is and that you're taken to doesn't work? But it does matter in healthcare. The diagnosis is wrong. Treatment is inappropriate, right? Or the payment is suspect.
And on that note, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Darren about the actual provider side. Back in a few. I'm Robert Rees. Join me weekday afternoons at 5 p.m. for the best of the CEO Forum on 1540 AM WADK.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting GCNLife.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com.
and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Dr. Darren Schulte, who is the CEO of
Apixio.
A-P-I-X-I-O. And just walk through that again. That's the API.
Application Programming Interface.
Right.
S is Exchange.
Exchange. And then
I is Input. O is Output.
There you go. And that's if you just came in after the break. So now let's talk about with the provider model. What do you do with that?
So the providers are thinking and acting like payers. This is the new world of the way value-based care is being provided, right? So the physician group thinks like payers. They, too, want to know how to treat patients in a way that keeps them out of the hospital, keeps them out of the waiting room, and keeps them healthy. So they need the same type of data that we're providing to the payer. They want to go through their medical records, and they want, for the tens of thousands of patients they care for, an accurate representation of how sick the patient is, so they can care at a population level for their patients, in addition to the doctor seeing the patient in the waiting room or in the hospital.
So you're both helping them on an individual case basis and on an aggregate,
and on an aggregate basis
in terms of population health management.
You're right, which is the starting point of which is, what are our patients have? What are they suffering from? And what we're working on, which is exciting, is also looking at the quality of care that they're receiving. Is this physician doing right by the patient, recommending the preventative care?
So you can tell how strong the physicians are as well.
We can. We can go through the medical records with machines and say, did you receive that colonoscopy for a man 51 years old that requires that for preventative care? Or whether the diabetic is being managed appropriately. Two guidelines to what we all agree is the right way of caring for the individual. And you can see that in the medical records.
Let's talk about healthcare and what's wrong with healthcare and how healthcare needs to transform.
So what's wrong today is studies just show we're paying for it, it's too costly, but also 30% or more of what we spend on healthcare is inappropriate, wasted, or harmful, which is about $1 trillion a year, as estimates have shown.
So if we take a total of $3 trillion for the entire healthcare system, we have about $1 trillion. Some of it can be harmful as well.
Some of it can be harmful. And there's certainly 98,000 deaths a year attributed to medical errors. At the same point, access is certainly a problem, which we're trying to solve through the Affordable Care Act, for example, as well as affordability, right? So this drugs are now overtaking other categories in terms of medical spend. And so that's a problem, especially as we have more specialty pharmaceuticals, these very tailor-made drugs, designer drugs, used to treat various different diseases.
And so what is it that your vision of what you're hoping that healthcare in America could become now that we have AI in place, now that you've companies like Apixio?
So imagine that now we have digital data for the first time. We don't have handwritten notes in a manila folder tucked away in a filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. We have data that's digitized, that makes machine readable, that now we can understand what works and what doesn't across millions and millions of individuals. And we can take patients like me, for example, who suffer from what I suffer from and translate that into helping people like me. And we, I think, can learn about healthcare in ways that we didn't know before. See, today physicians operate based on what they remember in residency, mm-hmm. what they might read in the journal if they're still able to at night when they come home tired read a medical journal, or observation. Okay, so that's, we need help. We need to augment their activity. We need to take the best of learning, both in the medical world that we can read, as well as taking and translating, you know, what's the evidence-based medicine, and bring it to the point of care to provide treatment recommendations, not to substitute the physician, but to help augment his or her activities.
Mm.
That will reduce inappropriate care.
Does this tie into precision medicine?
This is precision medicine. Precision medicine is more than genomics. Mm-hmm. In fact, the genetic markers and your genes does help in treating some disease. But diseases like diabetes are more than simply genetic therapy.
You have this huge ground in front of you because healthcare is everywhere. And, you know, you're doing tremendous work with the payers. And what is it that you're going to do going forward? Let's say we fast forward and it's 2020. What will your company be doing?
We are creating a patient summary or profile machine. We're going to take from medical
records. Patient summary?
A patient summary. We're going to take and understand. Remember, we understand diseases in your medical record.
Exactly.
We discussed.
Because you could read that.
We can read
much.
That. We can also read the treatments, your procedures, the pharmaceuticals you picked up at Walgreens, your lab results. Create a summary of you. And then over time, based on that summary, we're going to be able to determine what's best for you at the point of care. When the physician decides that, you know, you came to the office with back pain, should you get an MRI or should you go to physical therapy? And those are the kinds of treatment, clinical decision support tools that are going to help physicians keep track of all the different treatments we have and all the different options.
What about the challenges of being hacked into? Couldn't that happen with all this information in one place?
Certainly, cybersecurity is the most important thing for our company and should be for any company in technology or any hospital. I mean, we certainly go to great lengths to be sure that what we do keeps the data private, secure in its location.
I want to ask, what should CEOs who aren't, you know, they're listening in, they're excited about the future of what you could do, what should they be thinking about in terms of the future of healthcare? They're all concerned. Their employee base, healthcare, it's one of the major costs. They want healthy people to work there.
Yeah, well, certainly it also, there needs to be also the types of incentives so that folks make the right healthy decisions. Certainly what we should do is make the right treatments and things more affordable. If you're taking a medication and you're taking it regularly, your copay should be zero. We should do the types of things that make it and incentivize you to do the right thing. As opposed to today, you take your medications regularly, you're still paying a lot of money for it. These are the kind of innovative ways to pay for healthcare. We should also pay based on value.
Mm.
We should have better scorecards on which physicians are right for you. So we didn't talk about that yet. You go to a physician, you're not sure if that physician's going to do right by people like you. Is this surgeon the best for your type of procedure? Is this internal medicine person going to take care of you the best in terms of your care? And we want to be able to make that match more easily done. But it certainly starts with being able to have the types of things we don't have in healthcare, we have in other industries. You know more about the car you're about to buy if you're in the market for a car than the physician you're about to go to. And all you've got is a Yelp site or recommendations from a friend. And what they're going to say is, he or she is a nice person. They hold my hand. They ask about my family. You know nothing about the type of care or outcomes of their care. We want to change that because that's what makes other markets work, quality and cost.
You've been hearing from Darren Schulte, and you've been hearing about AI and how it is going to change healthcare. One more time, your website.
APIXIO.com.
There you have it. Great having you on the CEO Forum, Darren.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.